kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Dance Off, bro. Me and you.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Let old acquaintance be forgot. Hey kids, it's 2016. This is our first show back. Marty here. We got Sam. Say hi, Sam.
Hi, Mayor Sam.
We got Dan. Say hi, Dan.
Hi.
Today we're going to talk about the best of what happened in 2015.
Yes.
What we liked the best, what we did the best, what the comics industry did the best.
We're going that far. I just made up a list of completely personal stuff.
Excellent. We'll talk about
the best. We can use our imaginations.
What about the worst? Maybe a little bit of the worst?
Well, we could go in that direction, but let's keep it positive. Why focus on stuff that really sucked? We can just talk about things that were really great.
So if you notice something missing in the show, like say a lot of stuff from a certain company, then you know it's just because we're not being negative.
There you go.
You know, we could do a whole show about things that sucked, but
next week, or 2017.
You guys are all fooling yourselves if you think we're not going to eventually get into the negative stuff. It's just gonna migrate that way automatically.
Most likely.
We're trying to start our New Year's resolution then is to start the show positive.
Yeah, definitely.
And maybe end the show later.
But it's good to see you guys all survive the holidays, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, everybody's here. Yeah. Well, Chris isn't here, but
he survived.
Yeah, we've seen him.
We have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, have I seen him? I don't think I've seen him for a while.
I don't think you've seen him, but trust us when I say he's still alive.
Okay, he's still, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, maybe he's at home listening right now. If so, hi, Chris.
Speaking of people at home, we've got a website still.
Yes, the website's still running, heykidscomics.ca. So tune in and check it out. We got a little bio section there. We have little ridiculous bios about us that changes on a regular basis. So if you have a theme or something, then send us an email. Or I fixed the email. It's no longer supercalifragilisticexpialidocious@heykidscomics.ca. Apparently a lot of mail servers hated that. So it never worked right. So I think it's like... Two guys, a girl, and a pizza at. I don't know. It's there. It's on the page there somewhere, so you guys can figure it out.
Excellent.
And we also have the Facebook page going, so we can keep the conversation going all through the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Feel free to comment on the Facebook page at any point in time. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on there.
Did we ever figure out what the best way to get to the Facebook page?
Yeah, you go into the Facebook.
Okay.
And you go to the Facebook, and then you type in. Just like my mom would say, you go to the Facebook and you type in the bar, Hey Kids Comics, and then you hit the enter key.
Does that bring us up,
though? And then you have to call Martin because it didn't work.
You know what's funny? I've met Marty's mom and she actually does sound like that. Exactly.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Marty's mom actually came into the studio for a moment to help us. So,
real quick, we didn't discuss this, but what did you guys get any cool Christmas presents that were comic related?
I did. I did indeed. My mother-in-law got me I'm sure I posted this on the Facebook a couple of times, maybe not on the Hey Kids Comic site. DC produced a couple of hardcover books that reproduced the first 10 or reproduced 10 issues from the war era for Batman in one volume, Superman in the other, Wonder Woman in the other. And these books were, I don't know, whatever it was, $46.99 when they came out. Chapters had them on sale for $26.99, so I'm like, woo, yay, gotta get these. And my wife was like, you do know it's Christmas soon, and people are gonna be asking me what to buy you. And I'm like, yeah, okay, so I won't buy them. And my mother-in-law got them for me, which is great. So that's
that was an unsubtle hint to you that they had already been purchased.
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you know, January, I found them at Costco for $16.99. So if you are looking, they're pretty neat. They're very nice. Mm-hmm. The Wonder Woman one, wow. Woo! I think that, what's his name, Marston fellow?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had problems.
He did. He was a pretty kinky guy.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're there, and they're a fun read.
And also, interestingly enough, he was the inventor of the lie detector.
There you go. How about you, Dan?
That's insane.
What'd you get comic book related or otherwise?
I got nothing but comic related stuff.
Wow.
It was a Captain Canuck Christmas / birthday, because I had a birthday over the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And, got Captain Canuck swag, you know. I got a T-shirt and a couple of trade paperbacks from Chapter House reprinting some of the Captain Canuck stuff. And my brother, who is not usually a big spender on presents and stuff, he actually got me a Captain Canuck sketch cover done by the Captain Canuck creator. And I thought that was pretty darn amazing. And it's going to be the highlight of my collection. And Marty is doing some weird stuff that doesn't need to be done.
I got distracted by this lamp here that kind of looks like a microphone. I thought I'd shine it in Sam's eyes, but I can't figure out how to turn it on. So I'm just going to push it to the side. And, you know, maybe he'll think it's like, I don't know, some kind of a creature.
It's a lie detector.
Maybe he'll think it's the wrong mic and he'll talk into that one instead.
Okay.
So it was a Captain Canuck Christmas for me, which I'm happy with. Now, how about you, Sam?
For the most part, I got practical Christmas presents, but I got a few things. Most of my comic stuff came from Marty, who
Surprise.
Got me the Wonder Woman book that he was talking about, which is, again, a beautiful book. And what I thought was really interesting about that is that, you know, I've read a lot of Golden Age Batman tales, a lot of Golden Age Superman tales, but for whatever reason, the Golden Age Wonder Woman stuff isn't nearly reprinted as much. So it's really an interesting book to go through, because when I thought I've seen kind of a little bit of everything, but I realize all of a sudden I haven't.
Yeah.
Because the Golden Age of Wonder Woman, something I obviously didn't really know much about. So that was really cool to get. He also got me a Betamax Christmas tree ornament, which I really liked. And the only other thing I got was, it was kind of cool. Liz Moody, who is a local actress and dancer here in Peterborough, gave me a copy of the Bloom County Christmas special, which I didn't even know existed. It's one of her favorites, and it was, you know, with Bill the Cat and Opus, and it was just such a nice little thoughtful gift that she gave me, and I really, really enjoyed that. So that's all I got.
Yeah, really. Yeah, but that's comic strips, not comic books.
I consider comic...
Well, it's a comic show.
Yeah, comic...
No, that's comic strips. We're
comic
not...
Strips
see,
and comic
Sam's a little bit elitist when it comes to, like, movies and stuff, so I think I'm going to pull a Sam here and veto the comic strips.
Strike that from the records.
There
comic strips and comics. It's all comics to me, man.
And a cartoonist does strips, not a comic book artist.
Oh, this is the guy that...
No, but seriously, wasn't there, like, a big stigma, like, if you were doing strips, you were mainstream, but if you're doing comics, it was like something to be embarrassed about. Didn't Stan Lee used to tell people he was just a writer?
Oh yeah. At one point, but I think it's gone the other way around. I think you make more money doing comic books and comic strips these days.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched that documentary on...
We watched that together.
Yeah, we did together. Yeah, I forgot about that. What's it called? Stripped.
Yeah.
On Netflix, and it talks about sort of the current generation of comic strip artists and how, you know, newspapers just aren't carrying comic strips like they used to, so these guys are finding new venues to try to...
I think it's great, though, because I remember I've always been a comic strip fan. And it used to be that I would go to another city, or if I was traveling the States with my family or whatever, I'd always want a copy of the paper to see if I can find comic strips that I couldn't find. Now you get them all online. I read Dick Tracy every day. I read Mandic the Magician every day. I read, sometimes I take a look at Apartment 4G. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I like the fact that these things are available to you, you know, every day, where it used to be you couldn't get it unless that your local paper carried it. It's an exciting time for comic strips.
Well, that's something I don't understand, because for those of you that don't know the history of the comic book, but the comic book used to be nothing but a reprint of strips. So they would take the strips, line them up. That's why you had three across, three down in that 9x9 form, like that 9-square format. And all of a sudden, when original content started coming to comic books, they stopped reprinting the strips. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why companies like United Press and stuff didn't continue in the 60s and 70s in that comic book format to continue pushing that that stuff a few days or a few months or a few weeks after the newspapers. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That just seems
weird.
You know, that would have been a good way to do it. Because,
to the time machine, Marty.
Yes, yeah. Let's go. I got an idea.
Marty McFly.
Let's get a sports almanac. Anyways, best of 2015.
Okay. So
you're going to start? Who's going to start?
Let's just start with the format. We picked five things.
Five things.
Now, I'm sure we'll digress from those things greatly, but we each have sort of five things that we want to say.
Are we going to go like one each?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's start with Dan.
Well, it was Sam's idea, so let's let him start.
All right, let's go with Sam.
Well, you know what? 2015 was a really interesting year for me for comics because I remember in 2014, I kind of stopped getting interested in comics. I sort of looked at comics as just being, you know, a depressing way to spend lots of money, and I wasn't finding a lot of joy. 2015 was the year that I got excited about the comic book industry again. Okay, and a lot of the reasons are the five things I've picked. So I sort of look at it. What was the five things that made me fall in love with the comic book industry again after I had that period of disenchantment? And so first of all, what I'm going to do is my first one, I'm going to say Image Comics, hands down. Image Comics at one point was a company that I wouldn't even look at. I had no interest, but because of the success of The Walking Dead as their flagship title, Image Comics has, and I think it was Marty who first said it, they've become the new Vertigo. They are taking chances. They are pushing the envelope, creating incredible books. And yes, they do create a lot of content, so there's a lot of books that they put out there that don't go anywhere. But the ones that hit, they are the ones that are showing up at the top of my pile time and time again. The ones that I am the most excited about every month in and out is Image Comics. And most of them have appeared for the first time this year. So what we're talking Citizen Jack.
Which you still owe me a copy of. You promised me about 4 months ago you'd give me a copy.
It hasn't even been out 4 months, Dan.
3 months ago.
Well, it's completely sold out no matter where you go.
Well,
you
can't now find you've a got a pretty this. Hard task, don't
well,
you?
Well, we do. So there's Citizen Jack.
Do you need one and two or just one?
I have nothing because we were talking about that on the show one day, and Sam said, I'll get you a copy the next time I'm at CBA. And but I was like, sweet,
well,
Sam.
I asked. Marty can say it because he was there. I asked, and they didn't have any left.
Well, you should have told me that back then.
Well, I guess.
We'll find a copy.
We'll find a copy. So Citizen Jack, Ringside, Plutonia, We Stand on Guard, Rasputin, just so many books, like just nailing them out of the and park time and time again. And they're just the best books that I'm reading right now.
One thing about Image, though, that's different from the other ones is Image isn't actually creating anything. Mm. They're just offering an outlet for independent comic artists and writers to produce their content. And that actually works for them because it really frees them up. They don't have an editorial board that says, okay, we're going to make these characters go in this direction for the next 6 months. So all the other books that feature those characters have to toe the line and stuff. So they can say, you know, you as a creator can go to Image and say, hey, look, I got this 6 issues. I just want it to be 6 issues. I want to publish this. And if they think it's of suitable quality, it gets published. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, well, you know, you really should have 6 issues because it's trade paperback. You only have 4. We don't like 4-issue miniseries, so you shouldn't do that. They don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. They're willing to take a risk on, so long as the quality is there, and they figure that that's something that will go, they'll help that independent creator produce it, right? And that really frees them up to do a lot of stuff. So I think that's why you're seeing all this really neat stuff coming from.
Yeah, but hands down, it's the most they are the most exciting, best produced books I'm reading right now. They just finished Straczynski, just finished Sidekick, finally. It took them a long time to finish it. But again, a really nice, dark little book. I mean, everything, Image, boom. And as I said, it's so different. Like back in the day when it was... you know, like Spawn and
Jim Lee and Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, it was all art over story. You know, all art, no story. It was all gimmicky stuff. And
yeah, but those books were a product of their time.
They were a product of their time.
DC
yeah.
was doing a bunch of gimmicky, you know, art over thing. Marvel was doing the same thing. So I think as we've, because what I've noticed is reading comics for as long as I have, we kind of go through these phases where the artist is the most important part of the book, and then. It's the writing is the most important. And then we kind of know it's both hand in hand. And then all of a sudden the artist becomes hot again. So in the 90s, it was really the artist that drove everything. They were the superstars, right? Nowadays, I think it's a decent combination of both. Mm. You have to have good storytelling and good art for the book to really succeed. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, if the art's really exceptional and the writing's a little weak, or the writing's really exceptional and the art's a little weak, the book can still succeed to some level. But it doesn't hit that superstar status unless both are firing.
Both are firing.
Well, not just both. I mean, we got colorists, we got inkers, mm-hmm, we mm-hmm. got letters. And unless everybody's firing on max cylinders, you don't have that superstar book like Saga or, mm-hmm. you know, A Walking Dead.
Yep. Yep. Well, anyways, that's my number one thing is Image Comics, which is, and you know, Marty, he kind of laughed at me one time. He was saying something that, you know, I go on about my Archies and my Patsy Walkers, but at the end of the day, the stuff I'm really, really excited about is The Walking Dead and Citizen Jack and Ringside and these more darker, edgier. Oh God. And you know what I forgot to mention was Southern Bastards.
There you go.
Oh my God. That book is hot and it's fantastic. And it's just every issue just nails it out of the park. So.
Yeah, that's a fun book too.
Yeah. So anyways, moving on.
My turn?
Yeah.
My turn. Captain Canuck.
I think that there's going to be two Captain Canucks on this list.
Captain Canuck and the resurgence of Captain Canuck and all things Captain Canucky and Captain Canuck and Canucking Canapping with the Captain. Captain Canuck. We rant about this all the time. Captain Canuck, great character from the 70s. Really weird publishing schedule. Very eclectic. It's hard to find comics sometimes in great condition. And it's just really weird. And the fact that it's come back in the modern age, and they're fantastic, fun, adventurous stories. Some of the other stuff that Chapter House is coming out with, like this Crime Stoppers thing that's going on right now, where they have a free Captain Canuck comic book with Crime Stoppers. We're not going to give out the details because some of us don't have all the issues yet, so we're going to be a little bit greedy and try to get them tonight after the radio show.
Next week you can get all the details.
So next week we'll give you all the greasy details, but it's not a big secret. You can find it on the internet. It's not a
In
big
fact, deal. Even on the Facebook page.
Yeah, even on our Facebook page, I've advertised it. But, you know, just the whole Chapter House coming out of the publishing of that Captain Canuck comic book in March... The whole all of a sudden we have basically what we have is we have a Canadian Image Comics.
Yeah.
So Jason Liu managed to get his Pitiful Human Lizard through them. That Spirit Leaves comic,
looking
which
forward
I
to
have
that.
Not gotten a copy of. I haven't read it yet. Now it's available digital. I'll probably get it on.
I have it ordered. Like I'm signed.
Yeah,
up
Yeah. So
for
I don't know
it,
what's going on there.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I'll probably get it. I'll buy it on Comixology just so I can read it. Right. And it just seems like they're going to be publishing Northgard first as a trade paperback, reprinting the 80s issues. That was another Canadian character that was fun for a while. So that to me, this entire resurgence of a Canadian comic scene with a publishing company behind them. I mean, we've always had great Canadian creators, and you know they're publishing books for Image and stuff, and for DC and Marvel. And they're great guys, but it's nice to have that under one Canadian umbrella that we can kind of push.
How awesome is it to have somebody like Chapter House?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like
agreed.
A company. I said to my wife, I was like, you know, everything they put out, I'm going to buy just to support them.
Exactly. Because... Like, I get a ludicrous number of each copy of Captain Canuck.
He does.
And I get them from multiple sources to support various different stores and stuff. And I buy the digital ones on – just it's insane, you know, how much I'm spending on Canuck every month. But it's just because it's a great comic book, and we need to keep it going long enough for the other people to look at and say – you know what? This story is great. This is as good as Avengers. This is as mm-hmm. good as Justice League. This is a tight story, fantastic art. I mean, first we had Kalman Afronsky doing the comic. Leonard Kirk has jumped in. These are two big-name guys. This is not, you know, Joe Smith in Ennismore drawing stuff. This is, you know, two comic creators with big credits behind their name. Ed Bryson is going to be doing some of the work for a spinoff title that's coming out.
What about the fact that they've got a spinoff title?
Well, yeah,
that's
huge. There you go,
right?
Definitely.
They're just making that portfolio bigger and pushing those comics out. My only complaint here is I just wish they got a few of the bugs out of the system, and it was published on a little bit better schedule. I mean, mm-hmm. we've had a couple of little publishing glitches where the printer has made a error and the book had to be reprinted and couldn't come out on time. We're I think about an issue behind, but I mean, we're just an issue or two behind. We're not Secret Wars where we're, yeah. we're you know.
Still waiting for that
still
final
waiting
issue.
For that. And, oh, well, we're going to release one title, half the book, because the other half the book is so late. So we're going to make the miniseries longer and stuff. So it's just little startup kind of from a new company, minor glitches, but it's all going great. Other
Speaking
than that.
Of minor glitches, I have a question for you.
Sure.
About your classic Captain Canuck omnibus thing, right?
Yes.
So mine has an issue that's printed upside down in it.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and I haven't checked.
Yeah.
I haven't checked, because I actually ended up because I got two copies of that trade paperback.
Yeah.
So I'll have to take a look at both of them and see if it is printed upside down or not.
But, like, yeah, so I guess I'll skip. We might as well just keep talking about Captain Canuck for another minute, because that was further down my list, because I was ranking them, like, worst to best as far as okay. the things.
Okay.
And so Captain Canuck was going to be towards the end of mine, because, you know, thanks to you, I'm a ridiculous Captain Canuck fan, and not on your level yet, but still trying. So,
well, it's just fun, you know. It's one of those things where Canadians don't usually put Canadian flags in front of their houses. We don't usually walk around reciting oaths to the country and stuff. We're a little less showy in our patriotism, and having a symbol, a Canadian version of Captain America, you know, the stars and stripes, and here's our maple leaf and our red and white, and he's ours, created by Canadians, published in Canada. Even the original series was, you know, out of Winnipeg. So it's homegrown. And another great thing that Chapter House is doing is they're kind of making sure that the creators that are working on the new title are Canadians as well. So it's just, I don't know. I'm going to cry with patriotism.
It's an exciting thing for comic book fans and also creators in the area, you know, like in Canada, because it's, you know, hard to get a break if you want to be a comic book writer, a comic book artist, and you've got to go to the States to get something going without doing
exactly.
it yourself.
Exactly. Now,
and
you know,
somebody that...
it's a startup, so I don't know what their page rates are like. Maybe they don't pay as much as Image does, or, you know, whatever. But, I mean, they're publishing great stuff, and it's an outlet for Canadian creators to get their stuff done. And, again, following that Image model, so long as the content is of sufficient quality, mm-hmm. then they're publishing it, you know. And then hopefully it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and we have a homegrown industry.
Like, I think that would be the greatest thing ever. As if Chapter House is to Canadians the same as like DC or Marvel. You know, I want to go down the street and hear people talking about Pitiful Human Lizard or Captain Canuck and not Spider-Man.
Well, just follow behind me.
I do.
Cuz that's my conversation. But yeah, I mean it's just fun. It's just mm-hmm. a fun resurgence of the book. Like, yeah, last year, you know, 2014, we had the summer special and the web series and stuff, and it was kind of a testing of the waters and let's see if this works. And the fact that it's working is fantastic. I mean, it's just great that there's some enthusiasm. Surprisingly, I have not researched the sales numbers of all the issues that have come out.
Shock.
But, you know, number one had a decent sales figure. Number two had the stereotypical drop in sales. Number three, more than number two. So it's not dwindling down.
Yeah,
it's picking
good.
Up. It's like word of mouth is hitting, you know, because, of course, those sales numbers come out are achieved with pre-order, so it takes a little while for things to react, right? So everybody handed out issue one, and, like, I handed out 40 copies of issue one. Here, take this, take that. And I was distributing them at the comic show, at the computer store and stuff. And people dug it. It's a good book. All of a sudden, it's like, well, let's get into number three. Let's get issue four. Let's get issue five. Let's get this going because it's fun.
And I have to confess that I just got all the back issues of the current series.
That's fine.
Because I picked
got
up
them.
I picked
That's
up number five. Number five at the comic book store in early December, and read it, and I was like, yeah. And then there's a sale at Chapter House for Boxing Week, and so I went on and I spent an insane amount of money buying stuff.
There you go.
And so now I have just about everything that they've published and a bunch of silly swag as well. But if I can tell one of the really cool things about Chapter House and stuff is that, like, where it ships from. Because all of my stuff has come from Richard himself and not from like some corporate organization.
That's interesting.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing that's happening here is that, you know, being a homegrown Canadian company with a lot of creators, like I know Walter at Big B and George at Silver Snail, they have their hands in this and they're promoting this as much as possible at shows and stuff. They're giving, you know, Walter's always given Richard some space at his booths at all the comic conventions and stuff. And, you know, George had, both Big B and Silver Snail had special variants. Gotham City Collectibles had a variant, you know, and they're the community is behind this and they're pushing it. And, you know, you've got no customs and no,
yes.
no mm-hmm. you know, extra fees and all this stuff, bringing over American books. And don't get me wrong. I mean, the majority of comic books I read are American, so I love the Americans. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, Yankee bashing, but...
But we're allowed to be patriotic about
yes,
this.
Yes, we're allowed to be patriotic, so it's good.
The only thing that I'm going to complain about is that we need some Captain Canuck hoodies. I want a Captain Canuck hoodie, stat.
Oh my gosh! So. you are talking about clothing and not having sufficient like sizes and stuff in stock. In
no,
clothing?
I'm talking about a style, not sufficient sizes.
Oh jeez!
Because we know that local stores don't carry quite the sizes that you guys are hoping for.
Exactly. Did you guys get the
yes I
the
did
Captain Canuck T-shirt?
Oh
in?
No, we did not.
No.
But some stores, I think you can get them in Toronto.
Oh, there you go.
But. If you want Hopefully some, so. Let me know, and I'll see what I can do. Wink,
Excellent.
Wink.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yes.
Okay, what else you got on your list there, Dan, since I sabotaged your Captain
Well,
Clark?
So that was my number five, and now we'll go to my number four. And unlike you guys, you know, I'm new to this whole scene. Yeah. I only started collecting comics a year ago. And so mine is all about people and events, not about comics, because that's
what... You know what? Oh, I have a few of those, too.
That's what's really made this fun for me. So my first one... is going to the Toronto Comic Con last March, not the big one, not Fan Expo, but just the March Comic Con. And I actually only went because I have a couple of friends, Mike Tamburo and Andrew Chalmers, who do a Doctor Who fan audio called Dark Journey. And so they set up a table in the Artist Alley and they were promoting that. And so I went to see them because I talked to them online a whole lot, promoted it through a website that I was working on. And so the time came where I was like, I'm finally going to meet these guys. So I went, met with them, hung out with them, had a great time, and then did my first shopping for single issues ever. And so I walked around that convention with my wallet full and my plastic shopping bag ready to be filled up, and just had a great time like going through all the dollar bins. And I bought my first key comic book at that show, which was Marvel Spotlight 32, the first appearance of Spider-Woman, which is a pretty good book. And so that's my
what was on my list, which is very similar to what you're talking about, was Ontario's small scale comic shows.
Yeah,
I love the fact that like the Toronto show you're talking about, Hamilton, Niagara Falls. Smaller conventions are now popping up all throughout Ontario to kind of get away from the chaos of Fan Expo, because that has become too big for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to its roots, the kind of the show that you were talking about, and a big joy of my year was going to the same show you're talking about, Hamilton, Niagara Falls. I think there's one now in Cornwall that's starting up. There's the Ottawa show. And
See there's one in Lindsay in March?
Lindsay's having their own comic show. I think Oshawa tried to have one last year that was a bomb. But the fact that, you know, smaller Ontario venues are starting to do comic shows and bringing great celebrity acts, celebrities, it's great. It reminds me of Fan Expo 15 years ago when I had a good time.
Yeah.
So I completely know what you're talking about, Dan, when you talk about the joy of doing that kind of thing, because I became very jaded about comic shows and now I'm enjoying them again.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I know it was unintentional, but by you calling them small, it's a little bit of a slight because, and again, I know you didn't do this on purpose, but you take a look at the Hamilton show. the Ottawa show, that Toronto con show, they're not small. They're big. They have big name creators. They have, you know, they're not Fan Expo.
That's
San
what
Diego
I mean.
Size.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. They're smaller
and
than that.
Like
yeah.
a lot of people don't realize that, that Fan Expo is either number two or number three in
three.
All of North America.
Three. It's San Diego.
San Diego,
New York,
Toronto.
Toronto.
So it's one of the biggest shows, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, I mean, the Xbox booth is massive.
Yeah.
You know, and the Sony PlayStation booth is massive. These shows that we've been going to are more comic-centric. And so it's, you know, more FaceTime with creators, more FaceTime in mm-hmm. Artist Alley, more opportunities to, you know, you go to Fan Expo, you're scared to bring a very large backpack to buy a whole bunch of back issues because you're going to take out some small child just turning around in the aisle quickly, you know? It's just insane. Like I thought I was going to lose a kid once out there. It's just,
it's not really a show for shopping.
It's wall to wall people now.
Yeah.
It's getting,
but
to
I remember when Fan Expo was the size of Hamilton.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, like
my
when
first
I first
Fan
started
Expo,
going,
my first Fan Expo was the size of the Hamilton show. And it was again, more fun, more
intimate. They were more fun. And this year, like, as Dan was saying, because we're still talking about your point here, Dan, but we are now, because I had the same thing, basically, that you did, is as I said, after years of, I used to, like, going to comic shows was, like, the highlight of my year. And then it was, like, I only went because I was working at them, because I used to do press at them, but I hated it. I had a miserable time, and now I love it again.
Now, that all being said, I still think it's important that if you're a fan of this, you make it to Fan Expo at least once, so you can see that insanity.
Yeah,
so you can kind of witness that,
like the pinnacle.
That geek culture,
your fandom.
Like, if I got tickets to San Diego, I'd go to San Diego, even though it's an insane process.
I had the chance to go to San Diego one time. I was in L.A. at the time San Diego was going on, and that was the point to go, and at the last moment, was like, you know what? I don't even want to do it.
Oh, I would just for the experience.
No.
I don't think I'd be, you know, religious about it and go every year.
Yeah, no.
But I'd like
to experience away from
once.
It. I just couldn't do the crowd. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, so what else you got on your list?
Okay. Well, it's good that we're doubling up here, guys, on
we're sharing.
You know what?
Running
well,
out of time.
Well, let's go into, again, instead of a specific thing.
That's okay, we don't get all five. Go.
Yeah.
Go.
One of the best things that happened for me this year to enjoy comic books.
As he frantically touches his watch. Let's go. Time.
To enjoy my comic experience this year was shopping at Comic Book Addiction in Whippy. I learned how important it is to love to go to your comic book store again, and how much a comic book store can enhance the experience. Steve, I don't know. Anybody know what Steve's last name is?
Quinnell.
Steve Quinnell, who runs that place.
Yeah.
Great guy. And he loves comics. He loves to talk about comics. He's running a hell of a store. It's a beautiful, bright shop. Alex and Victoria, who are in there when we usually go in, they're great kids. I love talking with them. They're always, like, delightful, fun, upbeat, amazing people. And I just love going in there to buy my comics. And it's worth the 45-minute drive.
Yeah, Jane's great. Don't forget Jane.
Yeah, Jane's great. I don't know Jane as well as you guys because I don't see her as much. But I did drop her off a Christmas CD this year because she's a really nice girl.
That's
because
you're usually going on different days. Like, I started going to CBA because I couldn't find the right comic book supplies here in Peterborough. And I'm really anal about having the bag fit just right. And stopped in. Somebody said stop in at CBA. And all of a sudden, you know, that's the place to go to pick up a Strange variant or fun back issues or something. I got I'll talk about that. That's one of my things. I got back into the back issue comics, so I'm trying to rebuild some comic series from the 70s that I didn't have. And really, the selection here in Peterborough is not that great because the two stores that are here, they don't seem to be comic book stores per se. They're more focused on, you know, used books and or gaming stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you pop on the Facebook page for Jeff's, and I'm not trying to slag Jeff's here, but it's there's a very large gaming culture there in that store.
Yes.
So that's their focus because that's where they're making a lot of their money. And, you know, it's no fault of theirs. Yeah. That's their clientele. So, you know, stopping by at CBA anytime I drive by on my trip to various toy shows and comic hunting, you know, things, the staff there have been fantastic. They're wonderful people.
Yeah.
They're wonderful. I still get my books here in Peterborough at Dixon's, but, you know, I still get lots of stuff at everything that I don't get at Dixon's.
This is a quick story about CBA that I'll tell, and this I think shows you. What I mean is, when the first issue of Black Canary came out, of course, I'm a massive Black Canary fan, and I remember sitting at work going, oh my God, Black Canary number one's out, and I want it right now. Now, I could have walked down the street to one of our shops to get the book, because I just wanted to read the book.
Yeah, but could you have?
Well, I could have.
Would they have had extra copies?
Maybe, who knows?
Because that's the other thing. Making a joke about him walking down the street.
No.
But we don't know.
Because that's the other thing that's happening is both of those stores are not really buying a lot. Like the two Peterborough stores are not. It seems like, anyways. Yeah. And again, I'm not trying to slag, but it seems like they're not buying a lot of extras.
But I wanted to buy the book at CBA. I just wanted to go there, and I got up from my desk. I told my office manager that I was going to take an extra half hour for lunch, so an hour and a half. And I got in my car and I drove to Whitby to get the one book and to talk to Alex and Victoria. I remember they were both in there and they were like, why are you here in the middle of the day? And I told them, well, I want this book. And you know, and they were like, okay, you know, like, you drove all the way here. But just the experience of going to the comic book store is as important as the comic book themselves. And I found that love again. You know, as I said, it used to be, oh, I got to go to the comic store to spend all this money. But now I'm not just going to the comic book store to spend this money. I'm going to go look at comics, talk about comics, see people behind the counter who want to talk about comics. It's the whole experience. And again, it's just added a new element of joy to that experience. And so, and there's other great shops we've gone to over the last year as well, but Comic Book Addiction in Whitby has just been what come sort of my place to go, and I really love it, and I love everybody there. So if anybody out there from CBA is listening, thank you for 2015.
There you go.
Okay,
my turn.
Sure.
My turn. What was one of my favorite things of 2015 was this radio show.
Hey, sweet. Agreed.
I mean, just the opportunity.
That makes three of us.
The opportunity to just, you know, go crazy and chat and talk about stuff. And now, granted, you know, I don't know. I know the show is kind of your idea, Dan, and I'm not sure where your origins came from, but.
Well, what, late one night.
There you go.
I was going to launch into an origin story.
There you go. But
it was
for,
a bat flying through the window, wasn't it?
Yes, a bat.
Or your parents were killed in an alley after coming out of Zorro.
There you go.
Right.
For us, anyways, it's been a sort of an extension of the discussions that we have on our road trips. Like Chris Gilpin found a warehouse, for example, in Waterloo that sells really good back issue comics. So we'd hop in the car and we'd drive down there and shoot the snot about comic books the whole way down and argue and debate and, you know, just participate in the industry. Like the best woodworker in the world would be bored out of his mind if all he did was work with wood. You know, he's got a tool collection and he's talking to guys about various settings and different woods, and you know, there's a collaboration process behind it. You just don't sit there and create content in a vacuum. So same thing with us. I mean, just this outgrowth of being able to just talk ridiculously and stupidly on the radio for an hour about something that we enjoy and that we like. It's just kind of fun. It's great. Now, the fact that there's a few people out there listening that we haven't paid to listen, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, that's been pretty cool. So hopefully we can keep that up and keep entertaining you and keep this show as going as long as we can. So thanks for coming up with the idea, Dan.
There you go. You're welcome.
Yes, it's all Dan's fault.
Yes, it is all my fault, but I'll share the credit because, you know, the show wouldn't be anything without the four of us.
Agreed.
As a group. Because if it was me by myself here, like I thought maybe you guys forgot we were on today.
And oh,
I was
God,
like,
no.
I was sitting here going, uh-oh.
I've been waiting for it to come back. I, you know. Yeah.
I only had 7 minutes worth of dialogue before I had nothing. So I'm glad you guys showed up.
That's okay. There's a bunch of CDs lying around here. There's got to be you can scratch on the record player. Wooka, wooka, wooka.
It's time to put some music on.
Yeah, there you go.
But so if I can segue from yours into my next point, which is the people in Peterborough that I've met. You know, I count you guys and Chris among some of my best friends just from all the time we spent together chatting about comics, chatting about life, you know, and that's been a really great great experience having like the road trips when we went to Toronto to Gotham. Mm-hmm. That one time stayed out till what is to a bunch of old guys the wee hours of the morning, you know, around 11:30. So
trying to find Greek food, was that trip?
Or yes,
was
Sam, that wanted, Sam wanted get... Greek, yeah, and we ended up eating that Swiss LA
anyway.
But so, you know, like the people that I have met over the past year, mm-hmm. and there's other people too that aren't on the comic book show that I still count as friends, sure. that I have just met through interacting with them on Facebook, meeting up with them to buy books or trade. And my actual point was that this all started at the Peterborough Antiques and Collectibles show in April, because that was the first time I met Sam.
That almost sounds like a plug.
It almost is. Second time that I met Marty, first time I met Chris. Mm-hmm. And that was like my first local experience with the local people.
Well, you know, it's funny because that's also on my list as well.
Yeah.
Which is that it's hanging out with you guys. I used to work at a comic book shop here in Peterborough, Another World Comics, back in the 90s, which is where I met Marty and where I met Chris. And when I got back together with Marty a number of years ago, he was saying, why don't we have a bigger, more community where we're all hanging out? And I'm like, oh. And we have found that community. And there's guys like Tony Andrews and Daniel and all these really great guys that I've gotten to meet throughout this, just hooking up on the internet, going on road trips together. But also, and I, again, you keep saying not meaning to slag, but I've spent a lot of time in Toronto and doing Toronto stuff, and I have some great friends in Toronto and with the Toronto comic community as well. But that's a different kind of community to get into, and they're very close-knit, and sometimes there's been a lot of elitism and attitudes and stuff like that with some people, not all the people, as I said, because I have a lot of friends in Toronto. But that is a really hard group to get into, and it's so great that we don't have to focus on going to becoming a part of a comic book community in another city.
Yeah.
When we have our own community here,
we've developed
and,
it.
And I like to hope, I'd like to think that we are more inviting community, and if, eventually I hope that, you know, we can get to know more of the people in Toronto and be able to interact more with comic communities in other cities and be more of a like a provincial comic book community instead of just our separate cities. But to have a strong comic book community in Peterborough has been one of the best things this year. So,
well, and the other thing, like, we're trying not to be like an exclusive group either.
I mean, no,
you know, there's some guys on the Facebook page and stuff that we're doing deals with and stuff, and you know, it's possible that the kind of person that is attracted to comic books may be a little bit on the socially awkward side.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, like, quirks. You know, like, it, just say hi. You don't have to be shy. I mean, if you hear us on the radio.
Yes,
you,
we're all weird nerds that like all, comic books.
As I mentioned many times, there's something majorly flawed with each and every single one of us.
Oh, definitely.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out what my flaw is yet, but
oh,
I'm
gosh,
sure there
let
is.
Me listen. What was that? What was that? That
the
Peterborough. Show?
The Peterborough Antiques and Collectibles show there, Marty.
And when is that?
I don't know.
I believe it's April the 24th at 2016 from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Evinrude Center.
Sweet.
You probably could find more details at ptboacshow.ca. Now, I do have to say that was a non-paid plug for a fun show that we get to go to, so we're not principals involved in there. I did write the website, but that's the only exclaimer there. That's not a paid advertisement. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we get together Wednesdays for coffee and when we go pick up our comics from downtown and stuff like this. So, you know.
We try to carpool at CBA.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, and some of the other trips. Like, if only Gotham City Collectibles was closer, that would probably be my principal comic shop, mm-hmm. because Carlos out there is pretty decent.
He's a great
guy. He's a nice guy.
Great
so
guy,
if I lived on the other side of Toronto, mm-hmm. that would be my store. Mm-hmm. But the CBA guys are fantastic on this side of Toronto. They're mm-hmm. great as well.
Mm-hmm. What's that great shop in Oshawa we've gone to a few times?
Which one's that?
The comic shop. Really nice comic shop.
Which one's that? Oh, my God.
Is it World's Clyde?
World's Downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's World's Clyde.
That's a really nice store.
Yeah, it's a decent shop.
Yeah, I like the guy that owns that place, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I've got some good stuff there.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So
okay.
To friends.
Yeah.
To friends. Okay. Hey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Oh, we see we all got a little bit clapped there. Getting
okay.
Yeah. All right.
And okay, so, I guess my next thing is, and I hope this doesn't sound negative, but it might be a little bit, is the end of DC's New 52. I am so... DC's New 52 was probably one of the worst ideas DC ever came up with, and they finally got rid of it.
I disagree.
Now, did they get rid of it? Not really. But what they have done... Now, Convergence was not, maybe not the best event, but what they have done is they've at least opened it up so writers can take... be a little bit more freer on what their content is, and it's allowed DC's writers to be able to branch out a little bit and take a few more risks than they were. They don't seem to have the strict editorial mandate. It has developed fun books like Titans Hunt, which would have never existed if it wasn't for the end of the New 52. The guy's name's Brandon, I want to say Brandon Fraser, but that Brendan Fletcher, who does Black Canary. It's not what I would have done for Black Canary, but by God, it is so much better than the New 52 Black Canary crap that just was just horrible.
Yeah, but there were some bad Black Canaries before.
Oh, there was, but the New 52 Black Canary was...
This is where I got to disagree with you slightly, because I don't think the New 52 was a bad idea. I think it was an idea that was required and necessary, but... very, very fatally flawed in its execution.
Okay, agreed.
Because you take a look at the jump between the Golden Age and the Silver Age, mm-hmm. when we had new takes on the heroes. I'm sure there was somebody sitting there going, that's not my Alan Scott. That's not my Flash. My Flash has a helmet on his mm-hmm. head. Who is this guy all in red? You know, mm-hmm. and so I'm sure that there was the same type of thing there. But if you take a look at DC comic book sales and the sales in the industry in general, post New 52 and before the New 52, there was a huge jump.
Okay.
Huge jump.
But, see, I don't.
So I definitely know what you're talking about, because you know the way that it was very poorly executed and the constraints that editorial put on the creative content, and like why when you're as a specific example, why when you're restarting a universe like that, do you say Batman's been in costume for 5 years and here's the four flippin' Robins that have all been Robins in those 4 years. Yeah. Why wouldn't you just introduce Dick Grayson, save the other ones for future tales?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have to introduce all four Robins at once, and then all of a sudden it was like this huge continuity thing, and this guy isn't.
We both can agree that it was sloppy, but what I'm saying is I don't know what they've done different, but once they ended the New 52 and they brought in a whole bunch of new titles, DC, for whatever reason, for me, became more readable. I've always been a DC kid, and it was for a while I went from buying 20 DC books a month to buying 4. Now I'm back up to 17 DC books. So something changed to make it more readable. Whatever that change was, maybe I haven't figured out what it was, but I love playing in the DC universe again, and a big part of that, maybe it's just psychological, where I was like, oh my God, it's over, I can start reading them again.
I think there's also a little bit of, like, I don't know about you, but I was incredibly enthusiastic when the New 52 was announced. I'm like,
I was willing to go for it.
And those first few months I was getting a ton of DC comics.
Yeah, me too.
And then it's like, okay, well, this content is not jiving for me. Like the new Teen Titans, the Teen Titans thing that they did was just a disaster. Batman, on the other hand, even though they have that little glitch there with the Robins, mm-hmm. has been a really good book, right? So that reboot has been working. Mm-hmm. Superman, you know, okay, with the blue jeans and the emu thing.
Emu?
He's riding a bird?
Yeah, exactly. This emo thing. You know, I got problems with that. So now they've got this new direction that they're looking at. They've changed, they made from a story point of view that now creators can tap into different universes and mm-hmm. different. So mm-hmm. you're not pegged into this, everyone has to have a Mandarin yeah. collar, everybody has to be 26, mm-hmm. everybody, you know, that editorial decision mm-hmm. has been freed up, and they found a creative, I don't want to say the way they did it was creative, but the creative process has been created to,
as I said, it's opened it up. Jimmy Palamati.
But the other thing, sorry, Sam. The other thing is your enthusiasm right now for this new direction the same as the enthusiasm when the New 52 first came out, and then all of a sudden you're going to get disappointed by this horrible Dr. Fate book, this unreadable Martian Manhunter book?
What happened? Okay, I can answer that. Yeah. When I start, those are some of the books that I've canceled since I've got. Not everything's going to be a hit, but We Are Robin, Green Arrow, Harley Quinn, Starfire, Black Canary.
Well, I can do the same thing. I can do the same thing with New 52 because when the New 52 came out, before the New 52, everyone thought Aquaman was a joke.
You didn't let me finish. All these books, I started reading them, and I still enjoy them month after month after month. Okay, where the other books, two books didn't work for me, but a ton of them are. And maybe, as I said, maybe it's psychological. I don't know what it is, but I'm playing in a universe that I love that for a long time I wasn't playing in anymore. That's all I know. And that's why DC won me back. I'm a DC fan again.
See, but I hate the DC New or DCU or whatever they call it, Aquaman. But I really like the New 52 Aquaman. So I think it's more, I don't think it's necessarily an era. I just think it's a set of books and creators that are talking to you right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it's a mass. I just don't think they did a massive change out there. Mm-hmm. They basically just said, all right.
You know what the change is?
What we're going to do
I can tell you what the change is.
I think what the change is that the editors are not as draconian.
Yes, that's the change right there. The editors are not, don't have the stronghold on these books, and they're letting the writers do a lot more that what they want instead of with the New 52, where it seems that the books were all boring because the editors had more strength than the writers.
Well, which is exactly what we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
The reason why Image is doing so well is because it's letting the creators create.
And that's what's going on at DC again. So that's it. Okay. Hey, look, we went from disagreeing to...
Being on the same page. I never disagreed with you. It was just a matter of semantics.
We're totally on the same page.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
So we're starting to run out of time here.
Okay.
So now just before, if I can pause our top five lists.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I wanted to mention...
It doesn't have to be specifically five.
No.
Well, this is completely off topic.
Okay.
But I wanted to mention the Auric Kickstarter.
Definitely. Let's go with that.
That's
really exciting.
Talk about Canadian comics.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this book.
And it's pretty sweet. Yeah, so we were talking about it in our last show because it had just started up. But the Kickstarter finished about a week ago, and it made its goal plus $100, which is pretty good.
Excellent.
It did $2,800. Yes, and Andrew and Davis are both, I'm sure, pretty pleased with that. And I was talking to Davis earlier today about the book. He said that they're just putting the finishing touches on it. Issue number one right now, but they're still waiting for Kickstarter to give them the money.
That's great.
Because it takes a little bit of time from the end of the Kickstarter to when they get it. And as soon as they get their money, they're going to rush that book right off to the printer so that everybody can get their issues. Mm-hmm. And he also told me that he's made up a Marvel Universe-style bio and stats page to put at the end for Auric, which he thinks is pretty cool. And that there's going to be some stuff in that might cause some interesting questions from the fans. Ooh. And that's all he gave me. And a winky face.
Excellent.
Cool.
Well, see, that's just another one of these Canadian content things that are getting us excited. I mean, would we be as excited for the exact same book if it was coming out of Texas?
No.
Probably not.
But here's
Dan Parent wrote it.
Yeah, but here's some lads from you know, Ontario and the surrounding area, because Canada's not just Ontario, but I think this started in the Sudbury comic convention area. So it's just exciting that there's Canadian stuff going out there. And, of course, Kickstarter is a great way to get sort of a startup money going so that you can get going. That's how Jason Liu got his stuff going. The Captain Canuck web series was kind of funded that way to kind of take that risk out of things. I hear rumors that there's going to be a Northgard Kickstarter coming shortly.
Look at the great stuff Rachel Ritchie's done via Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Hope Nicholson and Rachel Ritchie with the kickstarting of the old World War II stories that were produced in Canada.
We got Mr. Monster coming out now.
Right? Which, surprisingly, I haven't heard much about. So I'm not sure if it's just, you know, compressing over the holidays and stuff.
No,
I'm just going to go back to it. But anyways, I'm sure that's going to be great. You know, there's a lot of stuff as far as Canadian content goes to be excited about again.
And so now maybe in our last 3.5 minutes, let's do our top thing from the year. And my top thing from the year is going to be my top purchase from the year was Marvel Scooby-Doo number one.
Hey, cool.
That I bought from CBA for $50. And the reason it's my number one pick of the year, it's not a super special comic. It's not the first appearance of Scooby-Doo in comics, but it is something that I share with my daughter, who's going to be 5 at the end of this month, and we read Scooby-Doo comic books together on a regular basis. And that, to me, is what this is all about.
Excellent.
That's I love spending time with her and reading comic books. And she's obsessed with Scooby-Doo, so I kind of pushed her in the direction of comics a little bit. And now she's got a little short box of her own full of Scooby-Doo comics, and she'll be like, let's read a comic book. That's my number one of the year.
I pretty much covered everything that I was excited about for 2015, but I want to talk about something I'm excited about 2016. Probably the number one most thing I'm excited about. No, let's say two things. Aftershock comics. We've had two great Aftershock comics come out so far. Zero Girl 3. Well, I've only read two. Zero Girl and Dreaming Eagles. What was the third one?
Super Zero.
Okay.
Insects.
Yeah, I haven't read that one.
Replica.
Oh, okay.
And Dreaming Eagles. Okay. I've read Replica and Dreaming Eagles, and both are really good.
And you read Super Zero,
yes,
didn't you?
Sorry,
Super
I did.
Zero
I
is really
got
good.
A copy of that. That was
yeah.
Good.
And next coming out is American Monster, and is it called Aftershock?
No, Strayer.
Strayer.
One's called Strayer. Okay. One's called American Monster.
And what's the one about the guy that has the premonitions?
I don't know. You guys didn't tell me to prepare.
It's called
about
Aftershock.
This stuff.
Anyway, no, that's the company. Oh, it doesn't matter. Anyways, Aftershock Comics.
We'll do research. We'll talk about
that.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that next time. And also, I just wanted to do it. We've talked about it so many times. Die, Kitty, Die by Dan Tarrant.
It's destroyed its Kickstarter target by like $20,000.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. And I know we'll be seeing these guys. They're going to be at Niagara Falls. I wouldn't be surprised if they're at Toronto and Hamilton. Can't wait to see them get some original Die, Kitty, Die art. One thing I'm excited about Die, Kitty, Die is I think it will show to the art people at Archie that you can go that art style and get fans excited again if you have the right content. So,
do you have a final thing there, Marty?
No, I fired off with my final thing with Captain Canuck. I kind of
you started with the final thing.
I kind of blew my wad at the beginning of the show.
Yeah,
all right.
But I mean, like my girls read comics too, and, and the fact that they're, you know, unlike Sam, they're excited about the new Archie. So, you know, they're always like, "Dad, is the new Archie out?"
I love Mark Waid's writing on the new Archie. Love Mark Waid's writing. Mark Waid's writing is great. The writing by Mark Waid. So good. Mark Waid's writing's fantastic.
Yeah, let me go on it. Does Mark Waid write Archie? Because I know nothing.
I think we've the silence was the death knell of all the poor artists' hearts that have worked on the Archie book so far. But as we quickly dwindle on time here, I like it. I think it's fun.
I would say though too is that I enjoy when we're talking about kids again. I've enjoyed hanging out with Marty's kids as we've gone through this journey. I feel like this big like uncle of some sort to these girls. And
so long as my ex-wife stops thinking you're a stalker.
Oh God, really?
Well, yeah. There was that little incident. Remember Facebook?
No. Oh God, yeah, that.
There was an incident. We better turn the mics off and
to be continued next week at same bat channel, same bat time.
But no, I love the fact that I'm seeing so many kids involved in comics again, and you know, and I know a lot of kids are into comics now, and it's a good thing. It's what keeps us keeps the industry going.
Great way to end that, Sam. So we'll tune in next week. I don't know who's going to be here. Somebody will be here. We'll have a great show.
It'll be you, Chris, and Marty, probably.
We'll figure it out.
I promise.
Okay.